This show is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, the Justice League of board game podcasts. Find out more at dicetower.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 264.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Family Gamers Podcast. I am excited to be with you this week. We are the Family Gamers. As always, I am your host, Andrew, and I am joined by my lovely and wonderful wife, Anitra.
That's me.
Anitra is kind of sick, but she's toughing it out because she loves being here.
I hate fall allergies, though. There's nothing you can do about that.
Not really. All right, it's another episode, which means I have another fact for you. This one's going to be quick.
All right.
Okay, so last week on the show, we talked about 263, which was the range of the Tesla Model 3. The other fact that I almost brought up was that H.263 was the OG transcoding method for YouTube. It was the way that they compressed the video so that it was, suitable for the internet. The one that is in use now, for the most part, is H.264.
So that's like the transcoding compression algorithm.
Yeah, I don't
algorithm
think transcode is the right word for it. I don't remember what the right word. Encoding. It's the encoding method. H.264, if you look it up, you'll find it. It's for things like MPEG-4, which if you do anything with video is probably a format that you would recognize.
Yes.
Yep. So that is my fact for the episode 264. H.264, it is your friend.
All right. It's our friend because we post videos on YouTube
these days. Yeah, we absolutely do. And you know what? We found out last week as we were posting some stuff onto BGG that some people didn't realize that the snap reviews that we include in the middle of our shows actually are originally on YouTube.
Yeah, for about the last 6 months now, we have been posting our snap reviews as videos.
Right. And we started by doing some like kind of slideshow, static image stuff, and we've just gone full into video now.
Yeah, so we're like video personalities now. But if you're interested in seeing more of what like Andrew and I and occasionally our kids look like when we're talking about games, now you can without coming to some convention and seeing us in person.
Although we would love it if you come to a convention and see us in person. That would be amazing. Yeah, just head over to thefamilygamers.com and there's a link right there for our YouTube page. We don't have enough subscribers to have our own special link yet. So
to have a fancy link.
It's a bunch of letters and garbage that you don't want to have to remember. But anyway, H.264 is a friend of yours. It is also a friend of ours. Another friend of ours is First Move Financial.
Did you know that if you have a 401k from an old employer, it may be getting weighed down by fees? Brightscope recently reported that average fees for small plans range between 1.5% and 2%, with plenty of plans paying more than 2% a year in fees. Luckily, your 401k has to report the fees that you're paying. So if you look at your statements carefully, the fees should be in there. To give you some context, if you left $10,000 in an old 401k and didn't add anything to it, and it was charging a 2% administration fee, 20 years later, that fee would have cost you almost $5,000. If you want help looking at your 401k to make sure you're not overpaying, go to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers and set up a time to chat.
Thank you to First Move Financial for sponsoring this episode of the show. So on this week of the Family Gamers Podcast, we are going to talk about nature games. So Endangered, we've talked about Endangered before, and we had Joe Hopkins on the show.
We did.
When A New Species was on Kickstarter, which was the expansion, and that's starting to arrive at backers. And so I have been very excited and eagerly awaiting our copy that we backed.
Same.
And it had me thinking about nature games. And so I thought that we would spend a week talking about nature games, some of which we have, some of which we've played, things that we think about when we're thinking about a game that has to do with nature. What are some of those titles? And these are not necessarily, we think, the best nature games ever, but these are the ones that kind of appeal to us and maybe why.
I mean, these are ones that you might want to pull in to game schooling and talk to your kids about not just animals, but habitats and all kinds of stuff like that. Also, up in the Northern Hemisphere, we are entering that season called autumn, as evidenced by my allergies. And that means that, at least for some of us, very soon, it's not really going to be conducive to spending lots of time outside anymore.
So if you are going to play games and then look at the stuff that's in the games and try to find those things outside, now is kind of the last time to do it for the next 6 months.
Or I also think about it in terms of like, I play these games and be like, oh, isn't it nice the other 6 months of the year when we can go outside and do these kinds of things.
All right, awesome. So we're going to talk about that as we always do. Second half of the show, first half of the show, we're going to talk about what we've been playing.
All right, let's get right to it. We have been playing several games of Haunt the House from Kids Table Board Gaming.
We have, for lots of different reasons. Number one, our review of this game is scheduled to come out on the same day as this podcast.
Yeah, I hope so.
Number two, we are, I'm kind of announcing it softly now, and we'll talk about it later, are going to be giving away a deluxe copy of the Kickstarter edition of Haunt the House.
Ooh.
Generously sponsored by Kids Table Board Gaming, which is totally amazing. Number three, we are also announcing that Kids Table Board Gaming is having a huge sale on Haunt the House. If you can't wait to find out if you got lucky enough to win the copy that we're giving away, you really should just,
Go buy
a copy
it.
Because it's a super fun Halloween themed game. And that's the, I don't know, number four. I've lost track.
Yes.
It's that season. It is October. And so we are bringing out our spooky and spoopy games to play with our kids.
Yeah, I like that Haunt the House is super family friendly. Yes. Like, you are playing as ghosts trying to scare off and capture ghost hunters and get trophies from capturing them. So it kind of flips the narrative on its head and keeps there from being anything scary about this game at all.
So there's lots of different reasons for us to be playing Haunt the House right now, and we're having a blast doing it, and we look forward to talking about that a little bit later, where by later I mean on the Family Gamers website.
Yeah. What else have we been playing? You showed me Tranquility.
I did. So I mentioned this, don't remember last week on the show or the week before, but one of the things I said is, you know, this should be on Board Game Arena. This game would be really good on Board Game Arena. And guess what?
Guess what?
It's on Board Game Arena.
Yeah.
And I was right. It's much more streamlined because you don't have to deal with any of the setup.
Yeah, little preview. Tranquility is a solid game in the mold of like a The Game or The Mind or
one of those,
or something like that.
One of those no communication cooperative
or
games.
Limited communication.
Yep.
However, given the fact that it's just a giant pile of cards, the setup is a pain.
It is. It is. And, you know, we've played a fair bit of it, really just two players so far. We haven't really brought in a couple more players, which I'm really interested in. And we haven't started playing with the expansions yet. We're really trying to get our bearings with the base game, which I think at this point we've pretty much done. But so that's Tranquility.
If you are listening to this and would like to help us get some more plays in, let us know and we'll play with you on Board Game Arena.
How cool would that be?
Yeah. Let's see what else. I showed you Big Easy Busking.
Yes, you did. Yeah, this is a really interesting, obviously Louisiana themed.
It is definitely New Orleans.
Yeah.
Themed.
Yeah, it's kind of area control.
Mostly area control. But rather than it being like, I'm sending out my armies, it's my band is playing over here and we're spending some of my, you know, trumpeter's energy and some of my drummer's energy and some of my saxophone player's energy to have the best reputation on this street.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, it's resource management, area control. And I mean, it's cute.
I really like the way the theme holds together because honestly, this makes way more sense to my head anyway than your typical area control game of like, since I have more guys on the map than you, I obviously win this fight.
I mean, okay, that's fine. Sure. I think that is sort of the classic area control thing
idea.
Because that's how it worked in the world.
I mean, I understand where it comes from. It just, like, it doesn't do much for me because the idea is like, well, there's still a bunch of guys here. I have one fewer guy than you, therefore I get nothing. And to be fair, Big Easy Busking also deals with that kind of idea that every street has a, if you have this minimum number of guys on it, you get a reward. As well as a winner reward.
For the record, I am in favor of dueling buskers, as long as they're doing it with a smile on their face.
Fair enough.
I'm fine with that.
Nobody like picking up the saxophone and using it as a club.
No, don't do that. That's not a duel. All right, I am going to mention some stuff I played. Finally, we got back together again. We got the band back together and played some more Pandemic Legacy Season 0.
How's it going?
Went all right. We won.
All right.
This is a month that we had failed previously. We won the month.
All right.
I think we're going into August next.
Okay.
So, yeah. And more Fleet the Dice game.
I mean, Fleet the Dice game is a good game.
It is a good game.
I've got one more.
Okay.
Which is I have been playing a bunch of Grove in preparation for doing a review on that. Grove is coming out on Kickstarter in about 2 weeks. Normally, we don't do a lot with Kickstarter games, but this is one where I'm going to say, if you like fast solo games, this is an awesome choice.
Definitely something to check out.
Definitely.
It's super quick and easy. If you've played Orchard before, you're going to understand how Grove works.
Yeah, so I, having not played Orchard, I went back and looked at like a playthrough to understand the differences. Grove is definitely more complex than Orchard. Orchard is literally just like, you are layering trees on top of each other, and that upgrades your fruit dice. In Grove, you're actually paying attention to how many fruit are on each tree. So you are really incentivized to take the trees that have two fruit and work those into your overlap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's also recipes now on the back of the cards. And since the game comes with 18, but you only use 9 in a game, that extra, quote unquote, 9 cards provide recipes for extra challenges that can give you extra points, but also give you a point threshold where if you don't make at least that many points, you lose the game.
Sounds good. It's a good way to make something that's relatively small extremely reusable.
Yeah, it gives it way more replay and it really makes use of all the real estate on the cards really well. So I think that's it for this week. Let's welcome our new members to the Family Gamers community.
Yeah, let's do that before we take a break.
So we've got 3 new members.
Awesome.
This time around.
Awesome.
Welcome to Gurav.
Welcome to Jessica.
And welcome to Edwin.
All right.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, some of our new members are well connected in the board game community. So we are very glad to have them in the community. It's going to be some good stuff. All right, why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about nature games. Sound good?
All right, let's do it.
All right, we'll be right back. We are back. So we're going to talk about nature games. Again, we are hopefully getting our endangered a new species
expansion coming in really soon. A lot.
There's a ton of stuff in there. And so this got us kind of thinking about nature and games that work with nature and what mechanics there are and how the mechanics really dovetail really well with nature and nature. Let's just talk about nature games. And so I'm just going to start off with Endangered. Endangered is a great game from Grand Gamers Guild. Even the base game has 2 different kinds of scenarios in it. And even though the scenarios both follow the same core mechanics of the game, because it's the same game, they treat animals in a very,
very different way
that are consistent with the way those animals act. And in the expansion, a new species, which has like 6 or 8 new animals, or
5 or 6,
it's a pretty big number. Even in that expansion, every single different kind of animal acts in a slightly different way, whether it's the way they breed, whether it's the way they're threatened, whatever it might be. And it's really, really cool the way this game, using the core mechanics of how the game works with dice placement and all this other stuff, it's really neat how it accurately or fairly accurately represents all of these different kinds of animals and really can spur on conversations. Like, for example, when the tigers breed, they have to split apart. And so our kids are like, well, why would they do that? Because they don't really understand how tigers work. And so we can kind of talk about that kind of stuff, for example, or the sea otters and the way the sea otters are constantly moving to or away from the land based on the way the pollution is growing. Actually, I think the oil is always coming from the ocean and coming in. But it's just really cool the way this is done. And we also bought the giant panda expansion.
That one was a lot of fun.
Is a lot of fun as well. And there's just so much more. And we're super excited for it. And I really like the way that it displays nature.
Yeah. A little aside, I learned a little bit about the Devil's Hole pupfish, which is one of the species in the new expansion.
Yeah, that was a stretch goal for that game, because it did really well, the expansion.
It's one of these endangered species that only lives in one spot in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And more recently, I learned about another animal that makes me think in the same direction, which is axolotls.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the next expansion to Endangered will have axolotls.
Plus, axolotl is a cool word.
So technically, axolotls are not an endangered species because they're in labs all over the world. But in the wild, they only live in one place, which is this swampy farmland just outside Mexico City. They literally do not live anywhere else in the world. And they live pretty much in one of the largest cities in the world. It's crazy and amazing. And I really hope if they want to do any more expansions, axolotls make it in because they're also cute.
We'll see how it works out. The next one that we have to mention, I feel like, is an automatic must mention, and that is Wingspan.
Sure.
You know?
Everyone's favorite bird game.
Yep. I mean, even if it's not your favorite, like...
There aren't a lot of bird games out there.
I mean, whatever. But, like, you have to tip your cap to... I mean, a lot of people feel like the game is overhyped. Fine, whatever.
Sure.
No matter what, you have to tip your cap to the game. It is an excellent, smooth engine builder that is extremely approachable. And it's really interesting. I always learn something about some bird when I play this.
It is packed with information about birds.
Yep. Which is very, very fun. Very, very cool.
Speaking of a game that is packed with information, but has actually nothing to do with animals, Subastral, which you and I have been playing a bit recently.
We have, yeah.
Subastral is literally all about all of the various ecosystems and types of terrain that you might find around the world. And every card has little facts about the kind of terrain. So you might look at the theme here as being kind of pasted on because it's very much an abstract board game that involves numbers and stuff. But I love the nature theme here, and the art really draws me in and makes me think about all of these different places, a lot of which I've never seen and some of which I might never see.
I mean, one of the things I really like about Subastral is being an abstract game. There's something about abstract games where if you present them correctly, they feel like open and relaxed, whereas a lot of games give you that kind of hunched over, like intense feeling.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think they did a really good job with Subastral, especially when they show you all of these different terrains and the pictures that are done by Beth Sobel, and it's amazing, are always broad landscapes.
Yeah.
And it really, all of that stuff comes together and really makes you kind of lean back. And even though it's not a cooperative game, you feel less tense playing it. You feel kind of more opened up. Mm-hmm. I don't really know if this makes any sense, but it's just the way that I play that game, it makes me feel a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because you talking about the way that all the spaces are presented is really open makes me think about there's so many different ways that you can present these same kinds of information. I think about several years ago when we talked to Karen and her associates at the Michigan Department of Natural Resources about What in the Wild. And they said that on the cards in that game that represent habitats, some are close up, some are far away, but on all of them, they always try to include something man-made as well to show you and kind of remind you that all of this habitat and ecosystem and everything is all around us.
Right.
It's not separate from us.
Yeah, and What in the Wild, another great nature game. I mean, is a game that... I mean, you talk about a nature game that lends itself well to game schooling.
100%. There are 100%. Five different ways to play with that one.
And that's
one
a game that's really not well known.
I mean, it's published by the Michigan Department of Natural Resources.
And it deserves more attention, I guess, is my point. I mean, it's got some really genuinely good gaming stuff in it. It's not just an edutainment game.
Solid gameplay, but you're also going to learn something. And because of all of the different ways to play, you can play with little kids who aren't reading yet. You can play with your high schooler who's like, ugh, fine, whatever, and get them to really think about the food webs and how all of these things interact with each other.
You can even just use the game as scaffolding for, let's go find this thing outside because this is our habitat.
And because, once again, the folks who designed this game tried really hard to pull common animals and plants that you're going to find at least over most of the northern U.S.
Right.
Some of them further south as well.
Good stuff. All right, next on our list is some stuff that you probably are not going to find unless you are an archaeologist, and that is the game Evolution. And this actually extends into all of the Evolution series and Oceans and all of, you know, that stuff that is being published by North Star Games. I really like these games because they are great resource management games.
Yeah, it's all about how do I get the food? How do I use the food?
And how you deal with either feeding your different species or growing your different species or giving your different species new evolved traits.
New traits,
because of what's going on around, and they need to evolve some traits so they can defend themselves from other animals, dinosaurs. But one of the things I really like about this is you literally can play the role of Darwin and have your own creatures eat your own creatures if they need to survive.
Right. And the more I played Evolution, the more I really appreciate this trade-off between herbivores and carnivores, that herbivores don't really bother anybody. They're protective of their own. And if you run out of food at the watering hole, too bad. They die.
Right.
But carnivores never have to worry about food at the watering hole. They have to worry about overcoming all of the protections that all of the other animals have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that they can eat.
And the thing I love about this is the engine of this game is the dinosaurs. They're not the way that you win. They're not the points. The points you get is by consuming all of this food, and those kind of become the currency. But the dinosaurs are just a means to an end, even though they seem like, I want to have the biggest and broadest and whatever.
Well, you get a little bit of everything. Food is the main thing, but you also, at the end of the game, get points for how many different animals you have out there and what their population is and how many traits they have. Things like that. Yeah, you do.
I mean, maybe, but I feel like it's the acquisition of food that is the real driver for success in that game.
It is. Food is the main thing.
Yeah.
Food is the points, and food is also the way you continue to move forward in the game.
Of course. Right. So, I mean, I just like it because it has a lot of these kind of competing elements.
Oh, yeah.
And there's always this push and pull, I know you like that term, between trying to grow your species, protect your species, and also make your carnivore successful as well.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just have to eat your own people.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Like T-Rex is eating stick people.
Something like that. Let's go for something a little bit more calm.
Okay.
An old favorite here at the Family Gamers, Saikatsu.
Oh, yeah. So this is a nature game purely in theme only.
I mean, kind of like Subastral in that way. It is birds and flowers. Flowers and birds. It is a fairly tame nature game, as nature goes, because this is cute little songbirds, and honestly, they're not really wildflowers. They're definitely cultivated flowers that you're making into your garden.
That's okay. We won't tell anyone. I mean, the thing that I like about Saikatsu is the perspective stuff with this, and I just love the spatial puzzle that you have to think through as you're putting these tiles out to make sure that you're maximizing your points.
Yeah. It's just
fun and pretty. And it's funny, you know, somebody just randomly asked me about that, I think last week or the week before. I got a message on Facebook saying, hey, what was that game with the fish and the flowers that we played at the Common Heart Game Nights?
Right? There you
and
go.
They were thinking of Saikatsu. So it's got some staying power. Let me throw in another nice, calm game.
Okay.
And that is Arboretum. This is a well-known and popular game from Renegade Game Studios. Another Beth Sobel. This might have been one of her first, actually. It's been out for a little while.
It's been out for a while, yeah.
Arboretum is this really cool, like, hand management, tile laying. It's not really tiles, you're laying out the cards. Like, set collection kind of game where you're sort of building paths. I guess that's the conceit of the game. You're building beautiful garden paths for visitors, and you're trying to line them up in certain patterns, stuff like that, to maximize your points. It's another one of these kind of laid-back strategy games where you're laying out your cards in certain patterns, stuff like that. And that is Arboretum. Sure. So for all of the tree huggers, I mean tree lovers in your family, you can think about Arboretum.
Or you could go with the mean trees of Photosynthesis.
Ooh, they are mean trees.
They are mean trees. They try to grow up fast and block out the sunlight from all the trees that are trying to grow up around them.
All right. Well, or you could get both, and when you feel like you want to fight,
yes,
you pull out
one mood or the other.
So we at the Family Gamers, we like Photosynthesis, but Photosynthesis in general, especially at higher player counts, tends to drag a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's even more true with the expansion. We did a review of the expansion recently, and it just did not work for us. It was just too long. The game loop of Photosynthesis just got extended out. And so a game that was good, at least from our perspective, a game that was good at lower player counts, a little bit too long at higher player counts, and then you take that game loop and you extend it.
Make it even longer. Yeah.
Less good at lower player count, even though there's more stuff to do. A little bit more strategic. So if you liked Photosynthesis OG at higher player counts, maybe Photosynthesis with the expansion
at two players
would be okay. Yeah. But then when you do all of that stuff at high play, I mean, it literally became a 2.5 hour game. And Photosynthesis is not the kind of game that supports that level of stuff. But there's really cool educational opportunities in a game like Photosynthesis.
That's true. And even with the expansion is Under the Moonlight, and it talks all about how the moon can affect things. The moon goes in an opposite direction from the sun around the board, and it introduces all these cool animals. And all of the animals do things that are consistent with what these animals do in real life. The beaver builds dams. The squirrel can steal seeds and move them around the board, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we have a couple more games. Two of them are engine buildery kind of games. The first one I'm going to talk about is God's Love Dinosaurs.
So, yeah, we were turned on to this game, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, maybe a little less.
Well, so Jeremy Tower told us about it, and we were interested, and we decided to pick it up in a trade opportunity or something like that.
But even from the first time we played it this summer, it's just really cool. I really like it. It's another one where you have that trade-off of you have herbivores and carnivores and then also dinosaurs.
Right.
And the dinosaurs eat everything. But you've got this engine of like, you need herbivores who, you know, will grow and multiply across your land. And you need them as food for the carnivores. So you don't want to eat them all or then the carnivores starve. But you also want carnivores around for the dinosaurs to eat, because dinosaurs are your points at the end of the game.
Because dinosaurs will lay eggs if they eat carnivores, but not if they eat herbivores.
Yes.
So you can keep dinosaurs alive by feeding them herbivores, but you really want them to eat carnivores, because that's how you get more dinosaurs and or eggs, which are your points.
Which are your points.
And this is a really interesting game, because there's a very clearly defined gameplay loop here. You have to create or build or grow or whatever your herbivores so that you can create or build or grow your carnivores so that you can create or build or grow your dinosaurs.
Yes.
And that's the loop, and you have to do it.
Yes.
And this is not a game with too much in the way of varying strategy. This is a game about the efficiency engine.
It's a game about the efficiency engine because everyone knows that's the loop. But if you can get there a little bit faster, then you can kick off the next step in the loop before one or more of your opponents are ready.
And being tactical enough or strategic enough to put your stuff in the right places to be able to do those kinds of things is a huge value in this game.
Yes.
So this game is like, if you have one alpha gamer in your family, like, this is a game that they're going to dominate at. It's just how the game works. This is not a game where someone will luck into a win. And there's good
unless
things
nobody
about that.
Knows what they're doing. Unless, okay,
and there's good things about that, and there's bad things about that. So this is not necessarily a knock on the game. It's just being aware of what you're kind of getting yourself into. And that efficiency engine thing gets super hard at higher player counts. Yes. Like, really hard.
Yes.
And that's okay. But that's God's Love Dinosaurs.
So let's compare that to another nature-themed engine builder kind of game that has a much looser play loop. That's Ecos.
Well, so I don't think looser would be the divergent would be the play
sure,
loop.
Sure, divergent
would be what I would describe, because Ecos, you could have a ton of different kinds of strategies to get points.
There's also a lot more randomness in Ecos because it's got that bingo mechanic of what resources are coming out next.
Yes, yeah, there is some of that. But in Ecos, you have the ability to acquire a large number of different types of skills or abilities or things to do, depending on how the stuff comes out. If you've acquired a good enough breadth of stuff, you can mix and match and kind of make things work.
Yes, that's true.
As opposed to God's Love Dinosaurs, where you're either dropping herbivores or breeding them or having carnivores eat stuff. Like, there's not a lot of options.
There's not a lot of other choices.
Now, that being said, if you're playing with kids, something like God's Love Dinosaurs, where the number of choices that you have are limited, is not necessarily a bad thing.
Agreed.
But again, if your kids really, really hate losing, it's tough, right? It's really about knowing all these variables when you consider what games are best for your family.
So I'll say on the flip side, Ecos, while it is certainly a more complicated game than God's Love Dinosaurs, it can also be played in a much less competitive way. Because the thing about Ecos is that you're all working together to build the world.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not true in God's Love Dinosaurs. In God's Love Dinosaurs, you're each building your own little world. And so in Ecos, because you're all building this world, yes, sometimes you can be like, hey, I was planning on using this, you know, rhino over here, and I'm so mad that you moved him, you know, or ate him, or did whatever. But most of the time, you're kind of building off of each other's work in it. And so it's one of those where, yes, you can play it super cutthroat competitive and be like, I'm going to deny you this thing that you want because I'm looking at the cards that you have. But you're probably going to have more fun playing it if you play it semi-cooperatively. Like, everybody is just trying to build the best world they can and get their own little bonuses along the way.
You're basically ignoring any potential take that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. All right, well, we started this off with two of our favorites in Endangered and Wingspan.
Yes.
I think we're going to wrap this up with two of our favorites as well in Parks and Trails.
Yeah. Man, I really like Trails. Parks is good, but I like how much Trails strips it down and makes it just a much faster game.
And I like Parks because it is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, that's my biggest complaint about Trails is they have a lot of that same gorgeous art, but most of it you don't get to look at.
Right. Well, so in both of these games, you are playing as basically hikers that are hiking along. And in Parks, you are very definitely visiting national parks. Like, that's what you're doing.
Yes.
In Trails, you're just hiking on a trail.
You're hiking on a trail somewhere, although it still looks very southwestern and very not where we live at all.
I guess it's a more arid climate, sure, but it's, you know, it's just a generic hiking on some trails.
Well, and I say that because, like, Parks, I didn't realize until after we played Parks the first time and I started looking into it, how few national parks are in the eastern half of the United States. There are lots of state parks, but very few national parks.
Right. Well, I mean, it would make sense that there's lots of state parks because there's lots of states.
Well, yes.
But anyway, yeah. So I think we've got Acadia, and then we have to drive like 500 miles for the next one.
Yeah, like drive for multiple days to get to the next one. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we just love both of these games. They do fit a different demographic when you play them. Like Trails is something that you're going to pull out in the middle of the day. You might play it with some kids. Parks is something that you're going to dig in to play. And that's fine. It's a different game.
Very definitely.
Right. But we love both of them. They are great, great games from Keymaster. They're absolutely wonderful and beautiful. We have one of the expansions for Parks. Haven't played it yet, but I'm sure we will at some time very soon. So that's it. That is our quick look at the games that we think of when we think of nature games.
This is certainly not an exhaustive list, although I
think
I'm
it would
exhausted.
Be impossible. I think it would be impossible for this to be an exhaustive list. It's just there are so many of them. But I would invite all of our listeners to think about the games that they think of when they think of nature games, maybe some stuff that we didn't mention. Maybe you just want to give us thumbs up to some of the stuff that we talked about.
Sure. So where are the places where you could do that?
Well, the easiest place and the best place, in my opinion, is to go to the Family Gamers community. You can go to that community by going to thefamilygamers.com/community, or you can just jump onto Facebook and search for the Family Gamers community, and it should come right up. You can also just at us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, at Family Gamers AA.
I can promise that on Facebook and Twitter, we will see it very quickly thereafter and probably respond.
You can also just email us if there's anything that you'd like to comment on, ask us about, whatever.
Share in a more private way.
Andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
Anitra@thefamilygamers.com.
Check out our Family Gamers and Play Games with Your Kids merchandise. T-shirts, hoodies, mugs, other stuff like that at thefamilygamers.com/merch.
Leggings. Yes. Also, you can see us often modeling the t-shirts and hoodies, at least, on the YouTube channel, once again.
That's true. Yeah, you can absolutely get us on that YouTube channel. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show, also on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe to us there and click the bell and tell your friends about the show and leave us a review at Apple Podcast or whatever your podcast subscription source is. You can also find us on Amazon Music and TuneIn and Stitcher and Spotify.
As always, the Family Gamers podcast is sponsored by First Move Financial. Go to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to learn how the team at First Move Financial can help you pile up the victory points.
Thanks so much, First Move Financial, for sponsoring this show.
Don't forget, go to the Family Gamers website and enter the giveaway for Haunt the House.
End the Darker Corners expansion.
Yeah, this is like the deluxe Kickstarter edition, the Darker Corners expansion, ton of cool stuff on there, nicer than the version we have. Or if you want to make sure that you get a copy of Haunt the House before Halloween, go buy it. It's on sale.
It is on sale. We're going to include that link in the show notes for this show. Go to Kids Table Board Games website. You don't need a special code or anything. It is on sale for 50% off.
Woo!
It is $24 for the game with the Darker Corners expansion. And I believe for a limited time, there is the Graveyard expansion as well, which also gets included. You can't
Pretty
beat
cool.
that. That is a great price for a very, very fun little game.
Yeah. That's super cool.
All right. So a special thanks to Kids Table Board Gaming and all their support of the Family Gamers and especially of donating this copy of Haunt the House.
I think that's going to be it for us this week.
We're going to play more Halloween games in this coming week. I guarantee it.
Yes.
All right.
And I'm going to dose myself up with more Claritin or something.
Okay. Sounds good.
Until next week, play games with your kids.